Turn with me this morning in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 18 and put some kind of a marker there, because we're going to be all over the Bible this morning. This is going to be a Bible study. We're in Revelation chapter 18. Revelation chapter 18. Several weeks ago, we looked at chapter 17. Chapter 17 of Revelation talks about Babylon, and it talks about its destruction. Now we come to chapter 18, and we talk about Babylon and its destruction. And is God repetitious? No. We're talking about two entirely different things. And so several weeks ago from chapter 17, we talked about the fact that God is going to destroy, using other people, by the way, religious Babylon. Now you may say, what is religious Babylon? Religious Babylon started at the Tower of Babel. Actually, you could say it started in the Garden of Eden with the liar, with Satan. It's all the religious systems that have come about in all of the world down through the centuries that can be traced back to that godless Semiramis and her son, the mother-child cults that have permeated the whole world. They come in all forms in different countries, modify them this way, that way. They have all kinds of gods and goddesses, depending on what country it was, determine whether you called her Venus or Isis or you called her Diana and so forth. But they all had the same basic type of religion. That has continued down and been refined in many places, obviously. But God says that it's going to be destroyed. Now, the best I can tell, this is going to happen just before or just at the middle of the tribulation period. Now, why would I say such a thing? Because the Antichrist, or anti-God, as I call him, is going to bring forth a new religion. A new religion that's an old religion. A new religion that is designed to replace the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we call it Islam. It will be the predominant religion of the second half of the tribulation period. They are already looking for their 12th Imam. That's the name he is called. Their Messiah. What they describe as their Messiah that they are looking forward to. And we've heard the term in the news in the last few weeks. They are looking for their 12th Imam. Now, I've been trying to wedge that little idea into other things for the last 6 months to get your mind focused not on Italy, not on Rome, not on Europe, but on Babylon. Because that's what the Bible says. You're not going to find Rome anywhere in this section. You're going to find Babylon. And so I've put a great big map up there for you to look at this morning. And I confess, I forgot to print my sermon notes, so I'm going to preach off from what's up there, okay? I want you to look up there, not at me. And I just covered that material right there. I will let you look at it. Here in chapter 18, we're going to see the demise of political, commercial Babylon. This is the physical destruction of a city and an area of this Babylon. Now, here's some names. Some are old and one is brand new. What is it? The new one is Mecca. You're not going to find Mecca in your Bible. In the Bible, it's referring to a city in Babylon that will be destroyed. What is important about Mecca? It is the center of Islamic worship. It is the place where they come once a year, called Ahaj, H-A-G, Ahaj. They travel from all over the world to this city. And in the center of this city, and we'll just have a picture of it in a bit, but in the center of the city, you're going to find this great big black block. It's huge. And in a corner, along one edge of this black block, there is a silver-surrounded black stone, which supposedly is God that fell out of heaven. It's a meteorite. And they not only worship it, but they kiss it. And they circle around and around, million people circling round and round as all the men get to go past and give it a kiss on the way by. It takes days. Now keep that all in mind. You'll see a picture of that very shortly. Those other names that I put up there are old Bible names, and we'll run into them again in just a few moments. So keep your finger here, or some kind of a marker, so you don't lose your place in chapter 18, and look back at chapter 14 and verse 8. Chapter 14 and verse 8. And another angel followed, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Now, I read that also over here in 18:2. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon, the great is fallen, and has become a habitation of demons, a prison of every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. When is this going to take place? Very possibly this also will take place somewhere right around or just after the middle of the tribulation. And I hope I remember to tell you why a little bit later on. Go with me to the Old Testament. Keep your finger here and go to the Old Testament, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah 14, starting in verse 22. For I will raise up against them. And by the way, this whole passage is God giving a judgment statement against Babylon. For I will raise up against them, says the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon the name and remnant and offspring and posterity, says the Lord. And I will make it a possession of the porcupine and marshes of muddy water, and I will sweep it with the broom of destruction, says the Lord of hosts. Now, do you think that God has something about it concerning Babylon? Now, you say, now, wait a minute. I thought Babylon was Iraq. Iraq is just a little part of Babylon. The main part of Babylon is Saudi Arabia. Does that name ring a bell? That's why we have a map there. Now, over on this side you see is the Red Sea. Now, usually when you think of the Red Sea, you think of one of those two little fingers up at the tip of the Red Sea. And you know that the children of Israel crossed one of those two. I happen to be able to tell you it's the one on the right, not the one on the left that you were taught about in Sunday school. The one on the right is called the Gulf of Aqaba, and it's a big body of water. But it has a place where God brought the children of Israel down a long, dry riverbed out of the northern part of the Sinai Desert as they escaped from Egypt. They came down that long riverbed and out onto a beautiful sandy delta and were looking at water. And on the north side of them was a mountain, and on the south side of them is a mountain. You can read about that in the book of Exodus. And then they found out that the Egyptian army was following them. And they go into panic mode, and they begin to cry and scream and yell on Moses and blame him and threaten him. And Moses cries to the Lord and says, Lord, what in the world are we going to do? God says, Moses, take your stick. In the meantime, God took his cloud, which was a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, and he just moved it around behind them. Remember, wherever they went, it's because he told them to. And parked it right behind them in the gap. Could the Egyptian army get to them? Of course not. So you look up there. And about halfway down the Gulf of Aqaba, that little finger on the right-hand side, over from Tabuk, that's where the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. You see, that's all the Red Sea, all the way down to the Arabian Sea. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles of lake or water, if you please. And so God brought them across. And that's where all the evidence is. That's where they found the evidence of chariots and human bones and horse bones and so forth. That's where God delivered the children of Israel and destroyed the Egyptian army. Well, that was thrown in on the sideline. But you'll understand. I want you to comprehend the size of this. Now, this picture over here on the right shows that great, huge black block. I have no idea how big it is. I did not have time to find that out. But you can tell by all the people gathered around it, it's big. And in one corner of that is a place where they stop and kiss or touch the black rock that they consider as God falling down from heaven. Now you say, they believe all that? Absolutely. Plus a lot more bad stuff. They are idol worshippers. They have rejected the true and holy God of heaven and gave him up with a new God that they call Allah. And don't ever let anybody tell you that Allah and God are one and the same. Absolutely not. They are polar opposites. They are polar opposites. Our God is the God of the universe. Amen?
Amen.
And not the moon god, which they worship. And you say they worship the moon god? Well, what's their symbol? The crescent moon and a star. They worship the creation, not the creator. We worship the creator. And if you're not worshiping the creator, you're not worshiping God, are you? All right, over in Isaiah chapter 21, in verses 1 and 2. Isaiah 21, verses 1 and 2. The burden against the wilderness by the sea. Now, I don't know what your translation says. Mine says wilderness of the sea. We are not talking about a wilderness of the sea. We're talking about a wilderness by the sea. And I believe that's the proper translation. And some translations say the desert by the sea. And that's describing Arabia. You say, well, what's the sea? Well, how about the Red Sea? The Red Sea, right over there. How about on that side? What do you have? You have the Persian Gulf. Saudi Arabia is bordered on two sides by the sea. And so I believe we're talking here about Arabia. As the whirlwinds in the south pass through, so it comes from the desert, from a terrible land. A distressing vision is declared to me. A treacherous dealer deals treacherously, and the plunder plunders. Go up, O Elam. Go up, O Media. All its sighing I have made to cease. Who is going to destroy Saudi Arabia someday? Her enemies to the north are also Islamic. Iraq and Iran and Media, which is now part of Persia, part of Iran. Why would they destroy another Islamic country? Because they consider Saudi Arabia to be a harlot. Because she has prostrated her beliefs in order to sell to the world her products and to gain from the world their products. And so they consider her a traitor. And the Antichrist and the anti-God are obviously on the side of Iraq and Iran and Turkey and Egypt, but not on the side of Saudi Arabia. We keep that in mind as you read the next verse, which is verse 9. And look, here comes a chariot of men with a pair of horsemen. And he answered and said, Babylon is fallen, and all the carved images of her gods he has broken to the ground. I wished I could show you this morning pictures that I have seen, but not able to find to capture for you, of Mercedes-Benz plated in gold, parked along the street. Mercedes-Benz covered completely with diamonds. and buildings and stores, billions of dollars worth of gold products for sale. The rich get richer and richer and richer, and the poor over there are poorer and poorer. And someday God is going to take all of that into account, and He's going to use it against them. Look back, if you will, to Revelation chapter 18, and we're going to come back to the Old Testament in a moment. Verse 3, "And all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury." There is no country in the world that would fit the description of, except for Saudi Arabia. Arabia. "And I heard another voice from heaven." Now remember, this is John, the Apostle John. He's writing what he hears, what he sees. "I heard another voice from heaven saying, 'Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues or her judgment.'" Pray that any Christian or believer at that time will not be in that country when God drops the bomb. "For her sins reach to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquity." How about jumping down with me to Ezekiel 25? You say, where in the world's that? Well, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. And you say, where to? Well, let's get on to verse 12. Here's another name that is incorporated with Babylon, and that is Edom. Now you say, where's Edom? Well, if you remember, that Edom is right up there. Today, part of it is in Arabia, and part of it is in Jordan, but it's that area right there. Now, what's the name Edom go with? Esau. Remember Esau? Who was Esau? The brother of Jacob. Esau was the one that wanted to kill Jacob, so God prompted Jacob to take off and go north to his mother's relatives, and Esau went down into the lower part of the Jordan River Valley and settled there. And became a great nation. He had 12 sons. Jacob had 12 sons. If you have an old King James, they're called dukes. But if you have a new King James and some other modern translations, they're called kings or chiefs or something like that. But Edom. And Edom became a real enemy of Israel. They gave Israel a rough time when Israel wanted to move north to go into the Promised Land. And they gave Israel a rough time even after they were in the Promised Land. And so here's what God says. "Thus saith the Lord God," verse 12, "because of what Edom did against the house of Judah by taking vengeance and has greatly offended by avenging itself on her, therefore, saith the Lord," this sounds like a legal resolution, doesn't it? "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will also stretch out my hand against Edom, cut off man and beast from it, and make it desolate from Teman. Dedan shall fall by the sword." Anybody know where Teman is? Well, Teman's right there, in that area, down near Yemen. And where was Dedan? Dedan was up in this area right here. These are modern names on my map, so you're not going to find it. But when I talk about Mecca, that picture that's right here, there's Mecca. Right there. Now, what if God decides to destroy this whole area? Kaboom. I'll show you that's in the Bible. Did you know that was in the Bible? How many of you knew that was in the Bible? I'll bet you didn't. And I don't like to bet. But I do want you to think this morning. I want to stir you. I want to get you interested in digging in the book. Isaiah chapter 21, in verse 1 again. We read it already, but I put it up there on the board. The desert by the sea, that's not supposed to be desert, that's desert. Desert by the sea is Arabia, between the Red Sea and the Persian Gulf, and both are huge bodies of water, and together they would be bigger than the Black Sea, which is just north of Turkey. All right, so he calls Babylon to separate. Back over here in chapter 18, he calls them to separate themselves. And you say, well, who is it? Well, don't forget, once the church is out of here and the Antichrist comes into power and the anti-God guy, the two beasts, come into power, there are going to be a numberable multitude of people that are saved out of every tongue and tribe and nation. Remember that? Remember reading that in the Bible in chapter 7 of Revelation? And so God is saying to them, you new believers, get away from there. And God is warning them. I suspect that the book of Revelation will be greatly studied during the tribulation period. So leave your Bible where it can be found. Because you're leaving it behind. You're not taking it to heaven with you. So leave it behind in a obvious place so that your neighbors can break into your house and get your Bible and begin to read and find out what in the world happened to you. And first they're going to say, those crazy people. And then they're going to say, I wonder what happened to them. And they're going to start reading your Bible and listening to your tapes and your CDs and reading your literature. And woe unto you if there's anything in your house you don't want them to see. If there is, better get rid of it, okay? So that they're going to look at the good stuff that you leave behind and begin to search out these things and trust the Lord. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, lest you receive her plagues, for her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquity. Render to her just as she rendered to you. Repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed, mix for her double. In the measure that she has glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow, for she says in her heart, I am a queen, and I am no widow, and I will not see sorrow. And God says, oh yeah? And I want to see if I can rush and find that passage. By the way, name OPEC mean anything to you? Do you curse OPEC every time you pull into the filling station? Supposedly, they're to blame when the price of our gas goes up. You notice I said supposedly. There's got to be something fishy somewhere. When a gas station has a price of $3.79 and 2 miles down the road it's $3.59. They're both in the same state. They're both on the same road. Something's fishy somewhere. Amen? That was the best you can do on that one? All right. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 47. Don't lose your place. Isaiah 47. And verse 7 and 9. And you said, I shall be a lady forever. It's almost identical to Revelation 18, verse 7, isn't it? So that you did not take these things to heart, nor remember the latter end of them. Therefore, hear this now. You who are given to pleasure, who dwell securely, who say in your heart, I am and there's no one else besides me, I shall not sit as a widow. Obviously, you're seeing that Revelation is quoting this. Nor shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come to you. This is God's words. But these two things shall come to you in a moment, in one day. And that word one day, or that phrase one day, is repeated over and over in these passages. And in another place, it's 1 hour. 1 hour. So this is not some kind of a long, drawn-out attack that is going to bring them to destruction. It's going to be kaboom. Kaboom. And verse 9. But these things will come upon you in a moment, in one day. the loss of children and widowhood. And they shall come upon you in their fullness because of the multitude of your sorceries. Sorceries? What are sorceries? Don't blame the pharmacist, please. We're talking about witchcraft. We're talking about drug abuse. We're talking about all kinds of cults and things that involve themselves with satanic aspects of worship. Because of the multitude of your sorceries, for great abundance of enchantments. And you can go on down and read some more things that are said there. Go down to back over to chapter 17, verse 16 and to 18. Well, that won't work, will it? Wrong reference. Joel, let's go see what Joel has to say. Joel chapter 3 and verse 20. Let's see, Daniel, Hosea, Joel. Joel 3:20. But I will remove from you the northern army, and I will drive him away into a barren and desolate land, with his face toward the eastern sea and his back toward the western sea. His stench shall come up and his foul odor will rise because he has done monstrous things. That gives you an idea of the type of judgment that God is capable of meting out. But I want you to also see in Zechariah chapter 5, and then we may come to an end in a moment here, but Zechariah chapter 5 and verse 17. Don't confuse Zephaniah with Zechariah. We want Zechariah. Zechariah 5. Then I turned and raised my eyes and saw there a flying scroll. Anybody know the shape of a scroll? It's tubular, right? It's tubular. And he said to me, "What do you see?" And I said, a flying scroll. Its length is 20 cubits. Its width, 10 cubits. How big was this thing? 30 feet long, 15 feet wide. It's kind of a fat tube, but it's flying. Then he said to me, "This is the curse that goes out over the face of the whole earth. Every thief shall be expelled according to what is on the side of this scroll, and every perjurer shall be compelled according to what is on the side of this scroll." Now, there's two ways to interpret this. One is, it's a picture of the Word of God. It's a picture of the Word of God. Everybody's going to be judged out of this book, by the way. That's not the only book they're going to be judged out of. They're going to be judged out of the book of works. Every person has a list of their works that God's going to judge with. There's going to be another book where he judges according to our words, what we have said. So we have works, words, and we also have God's holy word as a judge of us. But back to this thing, what if it's got a dual meaning here? And what if we're looking at a rocket, a war-headed rocket that God is going to send from the enemies of Arabia, which is Iraq and Iran primarily, down. Now, there's another place where it says it's from the land of Shinar. The land of Shinar. Look at verse 4. "And I will send out the curse, says the Lord. It shall enter the house of the thief and the house of the one who swears falsely in my name. And it shall remain in the midst of his house and shall what? consume it with its timber and stones. What does that sound like? What would consume a building or a city and consume not only its timber but its stones? If it was timber, you'd say it's fire. Well, what dissolves stones into glass? A bomb. A bomb. And I don't remember whether I put down the reason for that. There's another verse somewhere which talks about it sitting on its base in the land of Shinar. Where is the land of Shinar? It's right there on the Euphrates River between Iraq and Iran. And both of them hate her guts. And one of these days they're going to let loose a bomb, a rocket, and that will destroy Mecca and probably a whole lot more of that area. That's God's plan, that's God's purpose, and that's God's statement. I would love to finish this, and probably will in some weeks, but at least I want you digging. I want you to look up names that are on a map like that in the back of your Bible, find the names, and then use your concordance and go and find out where those countries are and what those countries did. Now, my final question. What is the wine of Arabia? We read about the wine over and over and over again. What is the wine of Arabia? It's not made out of grapes, folks. It's pumped out of the ground. And everybody in this world is dependent upon oil. And they control one-fifth of the world's oil reserves. It doesn't just affect America or Europe. It affects the whole world. That is why later on in that chapter, you're going to read that the nations are mourning over her destruction. And because of that, I believe her destruction comes in the middle of the tribulation period, along with the destruction of religious Babylon. Why? Because the new anti-God and the new anti-Christ guys want to centralize all worship upon themselves and in Jerusalem. We'll see that happen as we've studied the Word of God. Let's bow in prayer. Eternal God and Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and we realize that our part in this is to be ready to take off and go with you when your rapture takes place. When we hear the trumpet sound, to be raised up, to be caught up together with the other believers in the air with Jesus Christ. And Father God, I don't know, there may be a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl in our midst this morning, someone who is not yet ready to face you, is not yet ready to die, is not yet ready to be taken to heaven. They may talk about heaven, they may like heaven, they may think about heaven, but they've never really trusted Jesus as their Savior. Father God, I pray your Holy Spirit would work right now and convict and draw and work and prod until they finally surrender and say, I receive Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. I ask now, Father, that you will bless the remainder of this day to your glory and to your good in Jesus' name. Amen.